questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this programme, we bring you informing and entertaining conversation with a wide range of interesting people on topics like fatherhood, parenting and men and boys issues. With me in the studio today is Ray Bonney, and I have a special guest as well, Pete Nichols of Parents Beyond Breakup. Ray, hello.
Hello, Glenn. Thank you for having me on the show.
And Pete, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good to see you both. So, Ray, for background for our listeners, you are someone who wears many different hats. You're a mental health specialist, a men's issues advocate, a radio presenter, and you're involved in Movember. Should we start right at the beginning of that long list? Tell us a little bit about your work in the world of mental health so we can get a sense of who you are and where you're coming from.
Well, thanks for asking, Glenn, because it's actually what I get up for every day and I never tire of talking about these issues. So predominantly I work in HR consulting, where I work with organisations, helping them develop best practice around mental health in the workplace. And that's essentially creating environments that support how people are feeling rather than trying to solve people's mental health issues. So that could be anything from responding to suicide in the workplace, mm-hmm. right through to developing that higher end policy and strategy development. So that's fantastic work to be doing. My favourite place is big, chunky, clunky, blue collar, male dominated workplaces.
Okay.
I also have a private practice. I'm a qualified counsellor as well, so I work one-on-one with people, helping them make sense of their lives. As you said, I'm a very strong advocate for men's issues, so I work with organisations like Beyond Blue. I'm a very proud ambassador for Beyond Blue. I've done work with Movember. The Men's Shed movement is another place you can find me hanging around in, and my shed is the Monash Men's Shed, and very proud to be an honorary member there at the Men's Shed. So,
have you got your own cup?
I'm hoping to get
your
one.
Own hammer.
No, I love going down there. And I recently visited the Ulverston Men's Shed in Tasmania, which was a thrill to be taken there and shown how somebody else does it. So, and radio as well. That's 94.13 WBC, Whitehorse Burundara Community Radio in Melbourne. That's Box Hill and Whitehorse. So I have a show there. It's called It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And that goes to air every Monday live between 12 and 1. And I have a whole range of guests, including Pete Nichols has been a very gracious guest that I've had on the show. I've recently had Adam Garoni, who's the chief Mo bro from Movember. Had Cassie J also recently. She's the producer of the movie The Red Pill, which we are all very excited about. And even Karen Strawn made I interviewed her as well.
For those who don't know, Karen Strawn is...
Karen Strawn is featured quite strongly on the movie The Red Pill. So she's a very well-known men's rights activist. She lives in Canada. And there are a few other things I get into as well.
So based in Melbourne, but going global.
Very global, very global. I mean, these messages that we're talking about, especially relating to men's issues, they don't discriminate and they're not usually geographically sensitive either, although, you know, things do, when we're talking about things like suicide prevention, there are slight differences across the world, but generally of every minute, every single day, another man kills himself, and that makes me want to cry.
Yeah, your passion is really clear and your commitment to making a difference is clear too, which is why we invited you to be on Dads on the Air with us today. So I'd like to focus in just on the workplace stuff you talked about just for a little while there. Obviously, men and women both go to work. Men and women both have mental health issues. But what, from your experience, what do you see the differences in terms of how work impacts men and women, and how we need to approach making work more mentally healthy for men and women? Are the differences?
I believe so, from my experience and the people that I speak to. You know, this is not a gender thing. However, you see typically men don't often get to choose their profession or choose the job that they have. They will generally have a job that supports a family, for example. So the primary objective will be, how much money can I earn to fulfill the obligations of my family? And I see so many men who are earning, you know, a reasonable amount of money to say, I don't want this. I don't want to be a manager. I don't want to be wearing a suit every day. I actually want to be digging holes, but I can't because I have three children in private schools and, you know, and I have an image to protect as well. And my pride and my dignity is all tied up in the occupation that I have. So therefore, you know, you see men have very limited choices around what they take on as a profession and how much they enjoy that. And quite often I will see men who are really at the point of having no purpose in life because they don't feel like they're in the right spot. Whereas women, typically, we have more choices, although some would say that we don't. But generally, for me, you know, I've been able to choose my occupation, you know, as a single parent, very, very supported in what I do. And I'm so enormously grateful for that privilege as a woman to have those choices. And it's a long way of answering your question, but I see, you know, men who I'm speaking with that are really genuinely suffering and no one cares.
What do you see then are some of the solutions to that? Because on one level we have to deal with the world the way it is, but we're also constantly trying to improve and evolve the world and the world of work and the world of gender and world of family and all the rest of it. So what can we do differently? What should we do differently?
I think from an organisational perspective, Glenn, we could be looking at things like onboarding. And that's how we're receiving people into organisations. Are they the right people? Is this the right role? Or does the person just fit the bill? So I see quite often, you know, people go through the process. And this is women and men. But the process will be apply for a job. So there'll be an ad on Seek, for example. And it'll say, you need to, you have to, you will, you must. Otherwise, don't contact us. So if you get through that part of the process and get an interview, then the interview is, you know, trying to find dirt on somebody. What can't you do? Where are the gaps? You know, are you authentic? Are you telling the truth? And so the hoop jumping there is quite exhausting to the human condition. If you get through that stage, we still don't trust you, we still don't believe you, so we'll reference check you, we'll psychometrically test you, we'll physically test you just to make sure that you're telling the truth. And then once you get to the point of being offered the job, it's like, congratulations, but now we're going to put you on 6 months probation because we still don't believe you. And then we'll performance manage you every year after that just to ensure. So I see that that is so detrimental to the human condition. And if we could change that process that I've just described, we're more likely going to choose the right people for the right job. You know, management, for example, is not something that, you know, it's a natural progression that we see, and it's also very attached to pride and dignity and brand, especially for men. I just want to be a manager. However, you know, not all people are good managers or enjoy managing others, which also has an impact on the human condition and how people are feeling about their occupation.
In terms of the difference you can make right now, when you go into an organisation, what are the changes that you see you can make with a from your experience that with an existing workforce, with men who are struggling at work for whatever reason?
It's all about listening, really. And in this space, unfortunately, because of stigma, which is extremely rife in the workplace when it comes to people's mental health or lack thereof, that we're still, you know, there's organisations that I work with that have a huge appetite for talking about mental health issues, and others that you just can't. You would never say the word suicide, for example. So really sitting and listening to an organisation to say, what does it feel like being here? What does it really feel like? And then understanding, you know, an organisation that may not have a good appetite or a willingness to take on this stuff, it's very, very slow in terms of introducing topics and themes and ideas around how we're managing the mental health of people in the workplace. Every environment is different, and always heading for how do we create an environment that supports how your people are feeling. So if that's a big blue-collar, male-dominated workplace, there's a very different approach to, say, if I was working with a small family business.
Great. Okay, so look, we could explore this for the whole show, but I think it'd be good to move on to some other topics of interest, to talk about men's issues, to talk about your recent visit to the Dads in Distress group in Sydney,
yes,
which I know you've
yes,
recently been to, and to your involvement in Movember. But before we do, I think we should take a little break for a song, which you've chosen one for us. Would you like to tell us which song you've chosen and why?
Well, it's called Born to Run.
Not the Boss.
It's not the Boss.
Ah.
No, it's Paul Dempsey. And Paul Dempsey is quite a well-known Australian artist, and He heads up a band called Something for Kate. And I happen to work with his sister. So I've been very well acquainted with Paul's work for the last 20 or so years. And he's a great guy and a great artist. But I love the energy of the song. And, you know, there's a bit of darkness and desperation to it as well, which I think really highlights what it might feel like, you know, being a man and a woman together.
That was Born to Run by Something for Kate. Welcome back to Dad's on the Air. I'm Glenn Poole, and with me in the studio today is Ray Bonney and Pete Nichols of Parents Beyond Breakup. Ray's our special guest, Pete, but I wanted to bring you in and ask you, why did you invite Ray to Sydney to come and speak to one of your Dads in Distress groups? What was the thinking behind that?
Well, I've heard Ray speaking at other events over the last few months. I was really impressed with her kind of handle on the issue of men's issues. And it's actually really comforting to hear some of these things coming from a woman, quite frankly, speaking openly. And I know that she was going to be in Sydney anyway for the National Male Suicide Prevention Conference. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to invite her to come along to speak to some of the dads in our group. She did so last night, and certainly the feedback from the guys after was phenomenally positive. Some of the things that they heard were new. Some of the things that they heard were probably things they'd heard from others, but hearing it from a woman was very, very powerful. And as soon as we left the meeting last night, we started getting updates and messages. Both Ray was getting them directly, and I was getting them through Facebook, saying that was one of the best sessions we'd had. Just hearing a woman acknowledge some of the problems that men go through and understanding them was very, very powerful. It gives you an insight into the fact that, you know, it's not an us against them kind of thing.
Ray, back to you then. What was your experience of being at the Dads in Distress group like?
I felt so privileged to be there, and you know, I talk to men every day. It's my job, and I'm not immune to hearing these stories, and we hear the same stories over and over again. But I think the power of the group was just so overwhelmingly touching to see men be so comfortable in their vulnerability and sharing, and each person bringing their own personal brand, I guess, to the group. But you're feeling this great deal of support, like these waves of support, and being part of it, not just because I'm a woman, but being a stranger invited into that space. As I said, I felt so privileged, and I still feel a little bit overwhelmed. You know, I become quite emotional in this space, and just watching and listening and absorbing the levels of pain and some joy as well in this space was really very powerful, and inspires me to actually get involved in more of these groups, especially being in Melbourne as well, because I know that there's groups down there.
Right, your concern for men and boys is touching, and it's also clearly very genuine. Where does that come from?
It's an interesting question that I don't mind answering very honestly. I was a victim of abuse by a man when I was a very small child, and as I grew and developed, the residual damage being depression and anxiety and a whole range of other things, carried on with me. So when I started getting into relationships, I left home and school when I was 15, and in relationships, I was that woman who was the abuser. I was the violent person, and I was the person that physically, mentally, I was so damaged and so in so much pain. Thank goodness I choose a great man, and very fortunately, those men were very, very understanding, as much as they could be. So for that reason, I look at issues relating to male suicide, and a lot of that is stemmed from relationship breakdown and alienation from children. And I feel very, very empathic towards men and women, and trying to understand the whole picture rather than just branding a man as being either violent or not a good father. And I think that's what we're hearing a lot in our social narrative, and especially in our media, around things like the White Ribbon Foundation organisation, who very, very strongly just promote for the safety of women and girls, and we're completely ignoring boys. But I know what it feels like to be the perpetrator, and it's not nice, but it's real. And I do sit with other women who have similar experiences to me, who are also in relationships where they're causing a whole heap of drama that we're not seeing and not hearing about.
Thanks for sharing that personal experience, which is unusual to hear. One thing we know, sitting in spaces like this talking about men's issues as we do every week, is that it's very difficult for male victims of abuse to speak out. But the flip side of that is we rarely hear women who've been abusive speaking out. How do you find people respond when you actually say that?
Quite mixed, actually. Men typically will be very happy about that, and quite shocked, because it's unusual to hear disclosure like that. Women tend not to believe me. So I was having a discussion the other day in the schoolyard, and I was talking to a woman about, the work that I do, and she's very curious about it, and as most people are. But we got to talking about violence, and she said, well, what about violence? And all these women are dying every day at the hands of men. And I said, well, you're only seeing one part of the picture. And she said, how's that? And I said, well, for example, and I disclosed that part of my story. And her response to me was, oh, I didn't realise your child's dad was abusive. And I said, I didn't say that. I was the abuser. And she was like, she couldn't actually compute it.
Couldn't process it, yeah. Mm. Didn't have a kind of story to attach idea too.
Yes.
Yeah, no, really interesting. Yes. And I think it's like we often talk, I know you're very passionate about male suicide, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. One of the strong narratives that's coming out now is that men must talk about their issues. I think one thing, and that's really important. It's great to see that people are actually more willing to hear men talk about what's going on for them in their lives. However, when we start to talk about our issues, we need to be aware that there are certain things, there are still stigmas around. And that's not just the stigma of having a mental health issue, but it's the stigma of, for example, what you're talking about, the stigma of being a victim, the stigma of being the victim of a woman who was abusive. These are things that we don't necessarily want men or women to talk about. So there's a lot of work to do if we are to really get to the heart of male suicide, that we need to, from my perspective, we need to break down all the taboos and be really comfortable with men and women talking about the many different issues they experience from lots of different perspectives. And it's great that you're part of moving that conversation forward. And one way that you're doing that is your involvement with the Movember Foundation, which traditionally was focused more on cancer, but has increasingly moved over into the mental health space as well. And in the last year or so, really put a large focus on male suicide. Tell us a bit about how you're involved with the Movember Foundation.
Well, it's quite recent, really. In terms of my involvement with Beyond Blue over the years, we've had a definite relationship with Movember. However, this year I was asked to develop and deliver their internal suicide prevention training, just pre to this year's campaign, which again, like last year, is focused on suicide prevention, not moving away from testicular and prostate cancer, but recognising that those two health issues have a definite impact on male suicide as well. You know, men's loss of their junk. it's a big thing. So I was able to address, because Movember are a global organisation, they're in 22 countries of the world, and not a lot of people in Australia know that. You know, we see Movember as a very intrinsic Australian organisation, but so I got to speak to the guys in LA, London, Canada, and here in Australia. Again, for me, very powerful and emotional being in a space where I don't have to try and seduce people into listening to the other side of the story. You know, it's not wanting people to think or feel like I do, but let's hear the entire story. What is it really like being a man?
So sadly, we're just getting going and we're also running out of time. Oh. So give us a quick plug for the event you're doing with I'm Just a Man around Movember. So tell us about that and where people can find that information.
Fantastic. Yes, well, it's on the 22nd of November at the park at Albert Park in Melbourne, and I was introduced to a man, Jim Skivalidis, earlier this year, and he lost his physiotherapy business last year to fire. And with that, he almost lost his own life to suicide because of his loss of everything. And so he had this idea to commemorate the anniversary of Michael Hutchins' death. So that's actually on his anniversary for a bunch of people to get together and talk and celebrate around men's issues and really bringing that suicide prevention bang into the limelight and actually say the word. So I think so far we've got about 100 people
great.
That are coming along and got some great speakers. Adam Garoni from Movember is going to Skype in, and we've got Tom Downey, who has recently retired from the AFL from Greater Western Sydney due to his mental health issues.
And I believe you're speaking too.
I am speaking as well. I'll be holding hands with Tom. Yes, so all of the money that we raise will go to both Movember and to Beyond Blue.
Excellent. So we'll put some information about
Thank
that
you.
Event on our Dads on the Air website so for people can find out more. We're going to finish with a song. Ray, what's the second song you've chosen?
It's called Angel by Sarah McLachlan. And this song has probably kept me alive for many, many years. And especially as a younger person really struggling with a purpose to live. This song, I cannot tell you how many times I've played it, but it describes exactly how I feel. And I used it once when I was younger trying to explain to my GP what was going on for him, for me. And I just gave him the song and I said, that's me.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance. For a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough. And it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction. Oh, beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins. Let me be empty, oh, weightless, and maybe I'll find some peace tonight. In the arms of the angel, fly away from here, from this dark. You are poor. so tired of the straight line, and everywhere you turn, there's vultures and thieves at your back. The storm keeps on twisting, keep on building the lies that you make up for all that you lack. It don't make no difference. Escape one last time. It's easier to believe in this sweet madness, all this glorious sadness that brings me to my knees in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here, from this dark cold hotel room, and the endlessness that you fear. You are pulled from the wreckage of your soul.
That was Angel by Sarah McLachlan. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners. Just go to our website, Dads on the Air, and send us an email and we will be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be back with another show next week. Ray Bonney, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
Pete Nichols, thanks for being here in the studio today.
Thanks very much, Glenn.
Goodbye.